Do we need to do public input and council input on that?
You're welcome to solicit it.
Do any members of the council have any questions or comments regarding the proposed agenda modification? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments regarding the proposed agenda modification? All right, so back to where we were. This is basically a companion bill that was requested by the administration to go along with the ATV bill. And as you can tell, this one's very straightforward, just one sentence. And it helps kind of nip the other path in the bud. Do any questions or comments? Do any other members of the committee have any questions or comments? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I would have preferred to discuss this at more length before the meeting, but as we all know, because we're both on the committee, we're not allowed to talk about what we speak about in committee outside of the committee. So I would propose, and this is not an amendment at this time, on advice of the council solicitor, I would move for an amendment on the floor with the full council as a matter of discussion and efficiency. But I would basically propose changing the standard from a knowing violation to it being a violation if the seller knows or should have known. And then in a subsection B, I would also propose to create a presumption that the seller, the person at the gas station, should know if a vehicle is not registered, if the vehicle does not have a license plate, or if the sticker on the license plate is out of date. That would basically give it more teeth. That is not an amendment at this time. And with or without the amendment, I would support this ordinance. But if possible, I'd prefer the ordinance to have those additional teeth.
All right, yeah, we can definitely discuss that before the full council, because I'm interested to know what we're allowed to do in light of the General Assembly's passage of legislation, because I know we're boxed in by the boundaries that they have provided. Do any other members of the council have any comments or questions? Councilman Gebhardt.
I would just say, first I'll acknowledge there's certainly an issue with these off-road vehicles in many parts of the city and other parts of the state. I want to acknowledge that first. In terms of this particular piece, I'm just a little bit cautious about making business owners of gas stations become part of the enforcement and potentially becoming culpable based on maybe what might not be an owner present, but a you know, counter staff or an employee or something. I would like to hear from folks who are in this business what kind of, you know, how reasonable it is, you know, how much oversight they have before someone starts pumping gas. You know, I don't want us to be forcing gas station attendants to be deputized, to be out, you know, shutting pumps off or getting into altercations with folks who are in this scenario. So I think the spirit of this is good. But my concern is, you know, are we putting an undue burden on someone who owns a gas station to become part of the enforcement? So that would be my concern on this one. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would concur with Councilman Gebhardt's comments, because there are laws in place now that forbid putting gasoline in certain containers Can't put them in glass containers, et cetera, et cetera. I think what you have done here, where it states known to the seller to be unregistered, it puts some teeth in there without making them, you know, the gas station cop. And this isn't like way back in, you know, the Civil War days when I was a kid and the gas station had two pumps and, you know, you had the attendants fill your gas and wash your windshield, check your oil. Today, you have these gas stations that have, they could have as many as a dozen different pumps, and a lot of them are going on at the same time. I would be very reluctant to put that legal burden and ramifications thereof on to them, particularly in many cases where these are just innocent employees. You know, they're there working the counter, or they're there doing, you know, whatever they happen to be doing. But also, I don't remember the last time I ever went into any gas station and paid in cash. I use a credit card. I just pump the credit card into the machine, plus press in, you know what I'm going to do, pump my gas, and away I go. I think it'd be virtually impossible for any attendant to be able to monitor that. That's my thoughts on that. The one thing I think I'm understanding, but I just want to clarify for the record, because oftentimes some of these things that may be ambiguous are interpreted differently in a court of law. So this says, sell gasoline products to unregistered off-road vehicles. Is there a definition of what an off-road recreational vehicle is?
So yeah, that's in section 40-33 of the Warwick Code of Ordinances. It defines snowmobiles and recreational off-road vehicles.
So in that definition, could it be interpreted to apply to a smaller boat, as an example, a boat that's trailered, a boat that is not, does not have an engine on it, and there may be a size qualification, but I believe it's a boat that does not have an engine on it, is not required to be registered. A boat that has an engine on it, a gasoline engine, it is required to be registered. So I just want to be certain that off-road recreational vehicle, which a boat obviously is not, it's not a road vehicle, but could that be construed, that boat, a 10-foot, 12-foot, 14, 16, whatever boat, you know, is trailered, could that be interpreted or construed as an off-road vehicle? Because I ask that because you identify snowmobiles, but yet we don't exclude trailered boats or ski-doos or things of that nature. I just don't want them getting thrown into the mix. I think the intent of this is to keep these crazy, unregistered, ridiculous bikes that are going to get somebody killed off the road. I think that's the intent, and that certainly is the reason why I am really happy to co-sponsor this. I just want to make sure we're not putting someone else in the mix.
Based on the language in the ordinance, it refers to vehicles designed to travel over unimproved terrain, and then it lists out examples: mini bikes, dirt bikes, all-terrain vehicles, and any other three or four wheel vehicle. And then it actually lists a few exclusions too, all of them being vehicles around land. I mean, my understanding of unimproved terrain doesn't include water, but that doesn't mean I'm right. Solicitor Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your analysis is correct. The section of law that we have in our ordinance is section 4033, which is also based on the state laws. And it, our ordinances codify what recreational off-road vehicle means. And the chairman was discussing, it means a motorized or electronic vehicle designed to travel over unimproved terrain, including but not limited to mini bikes, dirt bikes, all-terrain vehicles, and any other three or four wheel vehicle, regardless of type or design. This shall not be construed to include golf mobiles or golf carts, riding lawn mowers, electric bicycles, or garden tractors, which are not registered as farm vehicles. So it does not get into boats, to answer your question.
I asked that on the record because I have received some questions about that. So it appears as though that's been qualified as an exclusion based upon the ordinance.
I'm not sure if it's an exclusion so much as it simply isn't included.
It's not.
Right.
So in the absence thereof, could it ever be included?
No. Unless I'm wrong on the definition of unimproved terrain.
Based on the plain interpretation of terrain, it would, I suppose there's a theoretical if there were a boat that could also drive.
There is.
That would be a different question, but it doesn't seem to be included about.
There are boats that can drive. They can drive on land and they can drive in the water.
And if they're not registered as such, they would then meet then be covered. But if they were registered to do whatever their intended use is, they would not be captured.
Okay. That I think addresses my concern. Thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Can you, Solicitor, can you just clarify from that definition, golf carts are included in this definition or excluded by this definition?
Excluded.
Yeah, they're explicitly excluded in the ordinance.
As it is under state law, too.
Huh. Interesting.
Doesn't mean they might not be covered elsewhere. Just bear in mind before you go on any joy rides.
And many golf carts have moved on beyond gasoline filling to this date. Most are electric powered at this point with home charging stations.
Sorry, one more question. But are still prohibited by motor vehicle law from driving on streets unless registered in a certain way or something?
We are dealing with, so the item before us, I think this is kind of bleeding back towards the other item. The item before us is about gasoline filling stations. And if you are not a registered vehicle, you'll be captured by, or if you're allowing the filling of ATV or snowmobile under this ordinance that the General Assembly provided authorization for us to implement, that would apply to those filling stations. For those unregistered vehicles that are traveling on our roads and filling in our places.
To your point, Councilman Lattiser, when I scroll down, I realized past the definition section, the proposed changes was actually adding a clarification to make it clear that snowmobile recreational off-road, the use of them, it's being banned upon any roadway. Before it just said within the city limits. Now it'll say upon the roadway. Councilman Gebhardt.
Is there a penalty associated with violating it on the gas station side?
So my understanding is that the catch-all penalty would take effect.
Yes, that is correct. For all violations of ordinances, there's a general penalty provision where a penalty is not explicitly provided. That is a fine not to exceed $500 and or imprisonment of up to not to exceed 30 days, consistent with municipal misdemeanor statutes.
Got it. And then repeat violations could escalate from there, or they would always be limited to that stipulation?
The general penalties would treat separate incidents as separate violations. So fines could continue to accrue on a per incident basis.
Thank you.
Do any other members of the council have any questions or comments? Councilman Ricks.
To speak to some of the points raised by Councilman Gebhardt and Lattiser, I hear your concerns. At the same time, I think that there are already industry standards in place and industry practices in place that make this all very practical. To give a couple of analogies here, if you go to a car dealership and take a test drive, that dealership is going to require for you to hand over your driver's license for them to make a copy. That's not just for them to make sure that they have an ID in case somebody runs off with a vehicle, but also because of the principle under the law of negligent entrustment. So if someone does not have an active driver's license, they can't just get a vehicle from someone who has a vehicle, go off and drive it, and then if they were to go and get into an accident or the like, then that dealership could be liable for negligently entrusting that person to have a vehicle if they didn't bother to go and check if the person even had a driver's license. Similarly, with bars, pubs, other establishments that serve alcohol, if a bartender keeps serving someone who's obviously inebriated, then that bartender, that establishment is going to be liable. Now, something like this with a gas station, we're not exactly talking tips training that a bartender would be required to receive. This is more something that gas station attendants, I believe, are already very well familiar with. When we put our credit card into the over by the pump of a gas station, the gas attendant back by the cash register is not just making sure that the transaction is going through and automatically approving every single transaction, or at least they really shouldn't be. What that gas station attendant already has a duty to do is take a look, make sure there's nothing unusual, make sure that that everything looks like it's appropriate. And maybe it's because I was late to finally give in and get credit cards, but I remember when I was still paying cash regularly, going into the station and seeing the cashier, I would see the cashier doing exactly that, where for those dozen pumps, every time before a transaction was approved, they would get up a little bit, take a peek, look through that window, make sure that everything looked normal. And if something didn't look normal, I can only imagine that they would not approve the transaction. So maybe some fun homework. Instead of sometime when we go to a gas station, if we have doubts of whether the gas station attendant is paying attention, park in one of the spaces, walk up to a pump, insert the credit card, and have in your hand a couple of empty 1 gallon milk containers. See if the gas station attendant catches. They really should. But that half joke aside, my thought on the process is that if that gas station attendant sees an off-road vehicle there, then similar to the guy walking up with some empty 1 gallon milk jugs, maybe that should be that item that gas station attendant is told, that's a red flag right there. Don't go ahead and without a second thought, just hit approve. That's one of those items where you're going to have to take a closer look before you hit that approve button, because this is something that Warwick City Council, City of Warwick, might be enforcing, because these off-road vehicles are a danger, they're a problem on the streets. And so the logic is that there's a similar negligent entrustment. I don't mean to say that this is already the law or this falls into this exact same concept, but there's an analogy there that the gas station attendant shouldn't be and should know better. than to let the guy with some empty milk jugs start pumping gas into those. And similarly, the gas station attendant, if we were to act on this legislation, should be getting informed that an off-road vehicle, give it a second glance before you hit approve. Thank you.
For what it's worth, other communities have enacted a ban on selling gasoline to in this exact circumstance. So it's not an unheard of practice. It is done elsewhere. I can't speak to if other communities have brought it up and turned it down, but I've found at least some that have brought it up, passed it, and life moved on, just for what it's worth. Do any other members of the council have any comments or questions? Any members of the public have any comments or questions? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move favorable action as amended.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So unless I miss something, ordinance will end at 9:42 p.m.
Thank you very much. We are now back into the full council meeting. For members of the public, if you're looking on the agenda, we have done roll call, we've done salute to the flags, we've done general communications, we've done executive communications, we've done the acceptance of the minutes, and we have done public comment rule 41. So now we're moving to the consent calendar. Number one, PCR 118-22, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-164, Shoreline Adaptive Inventory and Design Project, Strand Avenue and Sea View Project. Bid 2023-219, Purchase for Explorer Police Interceptor. Bid 2023-087, Remove and Replace or Repair Roofs at DPW Complex. Bid 2023-223, Purchase Trackless MT7. Bid 2023-168 Alpha, purchase various new tires. Bid 2023-180 Alpha, police personnel uniforms. Bid 2023-180 Bravo, police personnel uniforms. Bid 2023-168 Bravo, purchase various new tires. Bid 2023-185 emergency lighting equipment. Bid 2023-190 police automotive graphics replacement. Bid 2023-171, testing and repair of self-contained breathing apparatus. Bid 2022-254, firefighting vessel maintenance service. Bid 2023-179, photography equipment. Bid 2023-225, purchase of 2001 E1 1500 GPM pumper. Bid 2023-154, work boots. Bid 2021-277, portable toilet rentals. Bid 2023-181, Landscape Architectural Services, Playground-Related Site Improvements at Bishop Park. Bid 2018-251, Consulting Services, Buckeye Brook Permitting, Remedial Action. Bid 2023-209, Construction Administrative for said project, Strand Avenue and Sea View Drive. Bid 2023-155, Liquid Chlorine for McDermott Pool. Bid 2022-162, Motor oil, hydraulic, transmission fluid, chassis, grease, and gear lube. Bid 2023-222, precast items for manhole and catch basins. Bid 2023-221, repairs to H115. Bid 2023-159, rodent control materials. Bid 2023-156, quick pro, dry, or equal. That concludes the consent calendar, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. Are there any questions on the consent calendar that were not asked earlier this evening in Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the consent calendar. Yes.
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 Thank you. The consent calendar passes. Councilman Howe, I believe four items have been removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. PCR 119-22, amended, was move favorable action.
With an amendment?
Yes, yes, Mr. President.
Okay, so let's move it. Say what the amendment number is. We'll get a second, and then we'll move on.
Certainly. Bid 2023-220, body-worn camera, software, and associated equipment is now PCR-119-22 for the amended, as amended.
And the amendment would be?
The amendment was to reduce the original ask from $953,750 to $910,000, a difference and a reduction of $43,750, Mr. President.
Okay, I'll take that as a motion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley, and Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Lattiser. Are there any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. The amendment passes. Councilman Howe?
Thank you, Mr. President. Formerly bid...
Do you want to move that favorable as amended?
I apologize. Move PCR 120-22 favorable action. Oh, as amended. I apologize. Correction. Move PCR 119-22 as amended.
Thank you. Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
Thank you. Next up, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. For favorable action on former bid 2023-224, post-collision vehicle inspection training is now PCR 120-22 for a modified amount of $2,545.16, a reduction of $150.
Thank you. We'll take that as a motion. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yep.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. The amendment passes. Councilman Howe?
Move PCR 120-22 as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll as favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes as amended.
Thank you. The motion passes. Councilman Howe?
PCR 121-22, formerly bid 2021-226, turnkey operation for printing, mailing of water, sewer, tax, and billing. Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on what is now PCR 121-22? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. As I said in committee, I will be voting no on this. I think that it is it's just wrong to continue approving these type of items when we don't have the proper documentation, the proper discounts, the backups. In this case, we find out tonight that there, in fact, was a math error that took place that is resulting in what we're voting on now, but yet we don't have any information to document that or to analyze it. So for those reasons, I will be voting no.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. Any other questions or comments on this PCR? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no. Motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Number 4 this evening, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Formerly bid favorable action on former bid 2023-231, roofing materials for 190 Range Road, is now PCR 122-22.
Okay, for action, Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on PCR 122-22?
I'll be recusing, Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiser is going to recuse on this. Hearing no other questions, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Recused.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 abstention.
Thank you. The motion passes. We are now moving on in the agenda. We have already done referred business, PCO 20-22. So now we're moving to unfinished business. First up is PCO 6-22. This is for second passage, committee report, ordinance. For action, Councilman Sinapi. Second by Councilwoman Travis. Councilman Howe and Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on PCR 6-22? Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, I would like to make a motion that we table this item until the General Assembly acts on the items that they're discussing.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion and it's been seconded. All right, any comments or questions on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll on the motion to hold this item.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
No.
2 yes, 7 no. Motion fails.
Thank you. The motion fails. Are there any other comments or questions on PCO 6-22? Okay, so we're back to the original motion, which was second, which was favorable action. Okay, hearing no more questions, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on PCO 6-22 for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no. Motion passes.
Thank you. Second passage. Next up is PCR 27-22, which is now 2022-333, committee report finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on PCR 27-22, which is now 2022-333? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no. Motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Next up is a PCR 77-22, which is now 2022-435, committee report finance.
Request to withdraw from sponsor.
For action,
favorable action on withdraw.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilwoman Travis. Any questions on the withdrawal on the request of the administration? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action to withdraw this.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to withdraw.
Thank you. The motion is withdrawn. We are now moving to the new business, PCO 10-21, committee report ordinance.
So we don't need to amend the title, right?
Not this one.
So this is recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments on PCO 10-21 that were not asked earlier this evening in the Ordinance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you, first passage. Next is PCO, right now, 12-21, committee report ordinance. Okay, for action, Councilman Sinapi.
Get in part.
Okay, second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, and Councilman Howe. Okay, Councilman Sinapi.
So first things first, move to amend the title of the PCO 11-21.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is a motion. It's second by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Lattiser.
Just to be clear, it's an amendment to the agenda to update the typo.
Okay, so this is an amendment to the agenda only. All right. Any questions on that?
The agenda.
Why don't we take that?
Yeah.
Yes. So the clerk will call the roll on just this amendment to the agenda for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to correct the title on the agenda.
Okay. The agenda has now been amended. So now we're going to go to PCO 11-21, Committee Report Ordinance. It's seconded by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Lattiser, or Councilman.
If I may make a motion.
Yep. Hold on one second. Did we get it?
Yes.
Okay. So it's moved in second. Yes. Councilman Ricks.
I'd like to offer an amendment. Let's see. I believe that the council solicitor has the language, but I know that I had some scribbles for the subsection B. If the council solicitor would prefer that I read the subsection B.
Okay. The amendment requested here by Councilman Ricks would be to add a subsection B to the item that reads, quote, "It shall be presumed that a gasoline filling station shall have knowledge of whether an off-road recreation vehicle or snowmobile lacking a license plate or current registration sticker is present on the premises of such gasoline filling station." Is there a second?
That was mostly there. I'll just read it one more time just to make sure. Subsection B being, "It shall be presumed that a gasoline filling station shall have knowledge of whether an off-road recreational vehicle or snowmobile is unregistered, or should reasonably know that such vehicle is unregistered in the event that such an off-road vehicle or snowmobile lacking a license plate or current registration sticker is present on the premises of such gasoline filling station." That would be the amendment to subsection B. And then just a very minor housekeeping amendment to subsection A, where on page 1, line 30, instead of it reading off-road recreational vehicle, vehicles and snowmobiles, it would be off-road recreational vehicle with the S in parentheses, the word or instead of the word and then finally snowmobiles with the S in parentheses to make clear that we're referring to either one. A person doesn't have to pull up with both necessarily to get cited. The purpose
Just wait before you explain the amendment. So those are the amendments that the councilman has made. Do we have a second to the amendments? Do we have a second to his amendments?
I do a point of clarification.
Councilman Sinapi.
So I just don't know what's allowed due to the fact that we're relying on the General Assembly's language. So I'm hesitant to weigh in on anything without knowing because if we can't do it, we can't do it. It doesn't matter if we want to.
The enabling legislation did not get into the weeds of an intent element here. So it is a murky territory as to what standard we would be applying.
So in that case, Councilman would restrict his amendments to the clarification parts, like the housekeeping then I would gladly second. But regarding the intent aspect, I can't, knowing that we set ourselves up for failure if we do so.
Okay, I'm still looking for if we have a second, then we can discuss the amendment, correct, Solicitor Welsh? Okay, so just for procedural now, if we need a second, if not, then we'd have to submit another thing. So do we have a second to Councilman Ricks?
Yeah, I'll second for discussion.
Okay, with second now. We should go back to the sponsor then, so he can explain his amendment.
Thank you. I already discussed it some in committee. The principle here is to make sure that this has teeth to, if we don't have that additional language, then I'm concerned that how does anyone enforcing this actually ever enforce it unless they can show that, oh yes, this particular gas station attendant was literally conspiring with that particular individual buying the gas. Anything short of that, it's going to be very difficult. And that would be something that's incredibly difficult to actually show. So yes, this would put a bit of an onus on the gas station attendants, but like we discussed before, this is something that should just be part of the gas station attendant's job, where similar to someone walking up to the gas station pumps with some empty milk jugs, that should be a red flag. Someone, if after the passage of this ordinance, pulls up in a vehicle that's clearly an off-road vehicle, it doesn't have a license plate, that should similarly be a big red flag. On the council solicitor's point that Councilman Snappy brought up, if the enabling legislation does not have that mens rea built into it, then could that be interpreted as giving authority to the city to set the proper mens rea? And I suppose a related question, here in the original, we set the mens rea as a knowing standard. If the General Assembly was to considered to be binding on us with the highest possible standard, given that they didn't specifically mention a standard, wouldn't that be the intent standard rather than the knowing standard?
Thank you, Councilman. To your point, the enabling legislation from the General Assembly does not prescribe a mens rea or mental intent requirement in the language. It provides, as part of this bill, language. Further, the City Council of the City of Warwick is authorized and empowered to enact ordinances prohibiting gasoline filling stations from selling gasoline and gasoline products to unregistered off-road recreational vehicles and snowmobiles. So the discretion is present in that sense, that the council has the ability to establish it. However, it's in the context of addressing the problem at large. So to some extent, we have to read it with the other item as well, because the two are related. But on the logistic aspect that you raised, there is a discretion from the enabling legislation.
Thank you. I think that answers our question, that the City Council does seem to have the Enabling Act and authority to give this a bit more teeth so that we can actually get it enforced.
Any other questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I agree with Councilman Snappy on the grammatical amendment to this. I cannot support the other amendment for the same reason that I voted no on the shopping cart ordinance. I think it puts an unfair burden onto businesses. In this case, it's going to be almost impossible for the owner of one of these gas stations to monitor and demand and insist that employees, you know, be out there at all those pumps. So that is, you know, my objection to that. I also feel the same as Councilman Snappy about allowing the General Assembly to make a decision with this, which is exactly what I suggested we do with the flock cameras. So for those reasons, I would support the grammatical change if you want to break up these two amendments, I guess. But I would not be able to support putting that additional onus or another additional onus, I should say, on businesses where it's just going to be almost impossible for them to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Snappy.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear. Solicitor Walsh, your opinion is the same as far as the mens rea aspect, the intent?
Looking at the plain language of the statute that was passed, it provides that the council has the discretion to establish an ordinance prohibiting such practice. So implicit in that is deciding the standard with which we will either choose to or not choose to apply different mental intent requirements.
So do you recommend we add in the intent part, or rather, would adding in the intent be against your recommendation?
Well, we're in this sense, you're bleeding into policy over the legal. The legal is the council has the discretion. I would just note that when you go into mental intent requirements, it does make that standard an aspect of prosecuting an offense. And therefore, in order to enforce it in any way, shape, or form, you will be held to applying whichever standard is present. And while I'm not a prosecutor, this is often something that adding mental intent standards, creates a standard, an item that needs to be addressed in order for there to be enforcement whatsoever. So it adds a step to achieving any objective under this ordinance.
All right. Yeah. So I'm of the same mind then when it comes to being uncomfortable with the concept of the amendment, because someone will challenge this. It's inevitable, especially given the widespread issue statewide. So we want to make sure it holds up as thoroughly as possible.
Thank you. Any other comments on the amendment? Councilman Ricks.
There is already a mental state requirement in the ordinance as drafted, the standard of knowing. And that standard is going to be a lot harder for the police to prove that a violator knowingly did so, as opposed to, I mean, really what's the most common standard in civil wrongs is the negligence standard, that they knew or that they should have known. So that's what that subsection B proposed amendment would seek. However, I'm not really hearing support for the subsection B amendment. I am hearing some support for the subsection A amendment. So what would be the simplest procedure here? I can withdraw the amendment as proposed and move the subsection A amendment only.
Is there any objection to withdrawing that amendment? All those in favor of withdrawing it?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Councilman Ricks, you have an amendment?
I'll move that previously mentioned subsection A amendment, the housekeeping one.
Solicitor Walsh, can we just have you read that one more time?
Uh, So Councilman Ricks, this is on line 30 where you wish to strike. Is this the and to or change only?
Councilman? Exactly. Changing okay. the word and to the word or and putting the plural S's in parentheses.
Okay, so the amendment, if the councilman would indulge, would be applicable both to, in some ways, to line 27, the title of this section of the ordinance, as well as the substance below it, but it would be the same changes of putting in line 27 and line 30, we would be putting the S in vehicles in parentheses, as well as snowmobiles. The S would be snowmobile with parentheses S, and then changing and to or between those two provisions.
Correct. Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment. Yes.
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 Yes. The amendment passes. Councilman Sinapi.
I'm ready to move favorable action.
Move favorable as amended. I'll take that as motion as favorable as amended. Seconded by Councilwoman Travis. Any questions on PCO 11-21 as amended? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. In hearing what Councilman Ricks just brought up and regurgitating in my mind the comments I made about holding the gas station owners responsible, et cetera, that line presented in the light that Councilman Ricks just said, recreational vehicles and snowmobiles known to the seller to be unregistered. Does that leave a wide open area for a vendor to just arbitrarily say, I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no clue. How is one going to prove that's not true? I like the ordinance a lot, but now looking from that perspective, is this just going to be, you know, an empty pocket? Is it going to just be an ordinance that's a feel-good ordinance that, well, we passed it, we tried, and it absolutely has no enforcement powers because whoever that entity is can just sit back and say, listen, I didn't know. Prove I know. Show me on them flock cameras that you saw me watching that car, pumping that gas. Let me look at that flock camera and see. I'm sure they'll be out there somewhere, so maybe that would be a good way to prove it. But in all seriousness, how would law enforcement enforce this law when it says known to the seller to be unregistered? I think, and with that verbiage in there, it just automatically gives that seller the simple answer that I didn't know. You prove I know. That's the problem I have with it. And I'd just like to hear what other comments are. I know it's getting late, but nonetheless, I think that's an important issue. Do you want to just pass an ordinance to pass it so it feels good, but then there's absolutely no enforcement there unless someone can absolutely prove that you knew, you observed, you saw, you partaked, whatever. And with that saying the way it is, I don't ever see any court telling the vendor, you're a liar, you had to see. As I said, short of the flock cameras watching you look at it. That's my problem with it.
Any other questions or comments on this? Councilman Ricks.
Yeah, I think we could certainly have a vote on what I had proposed for the subsection B, if that might be a good way to move forward. The benefit of having that subsection B as well is that it puts in a presumption that under those circumstances, it's a violation. So it has that burden of proof flipped so that if under those specific circumstances of, okay, the police actually caught this guy with the unregistered vehicle without a license plate, then it's a violation, as opposed to getting back into that whole mental state of, like you were talking about, okay, well, prove that I really knew this. So if the council would entertain a vote, I would certainly second an amendment if you wanted to move it. Or I could move the amendment.
Are there any other questions or comments? Nope.
Mr. Councilman Lattiser. So if the appetite of this council is to vote in favor of this in its terms, I will go along with it because I think it's better than nothing. I think if there's an opportunity to stop some of this craziness that's going on, it's better than not doing anything. I do absolutely have concerns about it being enforced. But if it's the appetite of the council to support it, I will go along.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, it's been moved and seconded. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no. Amendment passes.
Thank you. We're now moving to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to block it on unanimous consent? Ward 2.
I realize I made an error earlier. If I may move to reconsider PCO 10-21 for a housekeeping amendment.
Do we have a second to that? Second. Quickly, Councilman Ricks. I mean, we've been working on this for how long now?
Reader's Digest version.
Yes.
I would allow the council solicitor to read in the language that would be struck, and then a comma would be placed by a period. There is no language being added.
Give me a moment, Councilman, because we've moved on. So I got to.
Oh, sure. I actually do have it in front of me here. So this would be at page 2, lines 30 through 31. It would strike the phrase, as a result of the illegal activity and operation of these vehicles. And that was immediately preceded by a comma. You change that comma to a period, you strike that language, and the goal of that is to just take out some confusing language that could complicate enforcement.
So that's the amendment, and it's been seconded by Councilman Lattiser.
Just for clarification purposes, Councilman Ricks, the last version that we had discussed was to simply delete the language at the end of line 30 and 31. Or are you going to the original language?
That was the version last discussed without adding any new language. I think that your last suggestion made a lot of sense.
Okay, so first is on the action to whether or not we should bring the item back before us. We have a motion, a second. So the discussion is whether or not we should bring it back before us for amendments.
Okay. So we're going to call a vote to see if we're going to bring this back for amendments.
We're on the motion to reconsider.
On the motion to reconsider.
1021.
PCO 10-21. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
Two yes, seven no. Reconsideration fails.
Motion fails. So we were back to unanimous consent. Ward 2, anything under unanimous consent? Ward 3.
Pass. Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7. Passes. Ward 8. Ward 9. Councilwoman Travis.
A motion to reconsider.
No. If there be no further business of the silent body, I move to docket session.
All those in favor to move in docket session, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ordinance committee. Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Yes, Mr. President, I have an ordinance. The tentative title is an ordinance in regards to amending PCO 19-18 sub A to establish an appeals process and address stop work orders.
Ordinance committee.
Thank you.
Ward 6. Ward 7, I have one. It is a resolution authorizing the City of Warwick to issue not to exceed $26,960,000 general obligation bonds, notices, and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the construction, renovation, improvement, alteration, repair, furnishing, and equipping of schools and school facilities throughout the city, and all attended expenses included but not limited to engineering and architectural costs subject to the approval of state housing aid at the reimbursement rate of the state share ratio of not less than 35% at the time of issuance. Finance committee. Ward 8.
Three quick ones. A resolution, you don't have to write it down, Lynn. I got them for you after, don't worry. A resolution requesting the state DOT upgrade and or alter the traffic light at the intersection of Sharon Street and Main Avenue.
Intergovernmental.
A resolution requesting the state DOT perform a traffic study at the intersection of Hardig Road and Centerville Road.
Intergovernmental.
And a resolution to the General Assembly requesting the approval for the Center for Mediation and Collaboration Rhode Island as a nonprofit tax exempt entity.
Intergovernmental. Ward 9.
I've got two. The first is a resolution in regards to installing updated signage and identifying and establishing parking spaces near Coastal Resource Management Council rights of ways.
Public safety.
The second one is a resolution in regards to the installation of a handicap parking sign at 17 Tomahawk Court.
Public safety. And there is no more business before the council. Have a good evening.